receive our hearts in one accord. Oh, let us lift our voices up to the sky. Amen. And start to sing.
Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Raining on the outside, raining on the inside. How many of you looking for some rain tonight? How many of you just like to get a real good dose of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost poured on your soul tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Sing that second verse. Let's sing this second verse one more time. To all those that are streaming tonight, we're singing this song to you folks, as well as to our Lord. Sing that song about Jesus to people everywhere. There's a lot of folks streaming the service tonight. I pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks, as well as you. How many of you come tonight with a need? How many of you come tonight knowing that He can supply that need? You know what? If you knew what you owned, if you knew what real estate you really owned, not here in America, maybe wherever you're at, but on the other side, if you just knew what was yours, you'd take a spell. You'd take a Holy Ghost fit tonight. If we could realize what awaits us, what awaits you and me, somebody say praise the Lord. It's worth fighting for. Amen. Sing that verse for me, buddy.
Oh, let us know His presence. Let sounds of praises fill the air. Oh, let us sing of Jesus' love to people
everywhere. Sometimes it's hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes it's praise. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes tonight while we look at her prayer request. I want to remember Sister Lubine sends us in to remember her brother Fred having many strokes. They're just asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. Brother Samuel had quite an ordeal getting to church tonight, but the Lord saw fit to get him here. We want to praise the Lord for that tonight. Amen. I want to pray for Sister Rachel Estep, who has bronchitis and pneumonia. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. William Smith, sister, please pray for my wife, Gladys Smith. We ask all the saints to remember her as she is in extreme pain from a very large kidney stone. We just ask God to intervene in that situation tonight and just pray that the Lord would just be mindful of her. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have a need in this room, how many of you know God's bigger than all of our problems? He is greater than anything we're facing tonight. Do you believe that with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Brother Brad Yance, would you come tonight? Take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these requests. We'll just commit these things unto the Lord. Love you, buddy. God bless you.
Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity we had to come here again. Lord, we just want you to feel welcome, Lord, and walk up and down these aisles, Lord. You've seen every hand that was raised. Lord, you see the need behind each one. These requests I hold in my hand, Father, we know. May you move according to each one of your perfect divine will. Take full control of this service, Lord. Be with our singing, our special singing, most of all the minister, Lord, as he steps out behind this desk, Father. May the Holy Ghost just speak out through him, and may we receive, Lord. And we just careful, Lord, just please take full control. We give it into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us tonight in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. We certainly want to welcome tonight to the service Brother Donovan and Sister Stephanie Fisher from Lima, Ohio. Where would you folks be? Right here. Give these folks a nice hand tonight. God bless you. I'm certainly glad to have you in the service. Let's sing a song tonight about rising up. Brother Kirk Sacker in the service with us tonight. Brother Kirk, the Lord's brought you a long, long ways. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Are you glad to be part of an uprising? Are you glad to be part of a church that's on the uprise? Somebody said they'll quit. They'll all give up. That message will just, it'll just fizzle out. Wrong. Wrong. We're on our way up. We're on our way out of here. We've been called out by a message of the hour. Are you glad you believe it tonight? Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, we're rising up. We're rising up. There's a New Testament church rising up. Rising up. We're rising up. Oh, there's a New Testament church rising up. Church rising up. Rising up. Rising up. Rising up. We're rising up. Lord, there's a New Testament church rising up.
As I look out across the land, I see God's mighty hand.
The bride of Christ adorned in her wedding gown.
Just like in the days of old, they stood in courage bold. They turned that old world upside down.
We're rising up. We're rising up.
Rising up.
Lord, we're a New Testament church. Rising up.
We're rising up.
We're rising up.
Tells how the Holy Ghost fell. Signs and wonders were done by the apostles' hands. Demon spirits were cast out.
Oh, yeah.
In the jail they sing and shout while surrounded by God's holy angel band.
Oh, we're rising up.
Rising up.
We're rising up.
Rising up.
Lord, we're a New Testament church rising up.
We're rising up.
We're
you think it's all long gone, all the miracles are done, I have some good news to bring to you.
Yes, we do.
In his last days, he'll pour of his Spirit more and more. Like a mighty eagle, your strength he'll renew.
If you think it's all long gone, you better do that one more time.
If you think it's all long gone,
no, sir.
And all the miracles are done,
there's too many of us got them going on.
I have some good news to bring to you. In his last days, he'll pour of his Spirit.
Yes, he will.
Like a mighty eagle, your strength he'll renew.
Oh, we're rising up,
rising up.
We're rising up,
rising up.
Lord, we're a New Testament church, rising up.
She's rising up.
We're rising up,
rising up.
We're rising up,
we're rising up.
Lord, we're a
New Testament church, rising up. Testament church rising up with this new Testament church.
Yes, we are.
And we're rising up.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you believe that with all your heart tonight? You know what? You've been called to believe this. You was elected to believe this. You can't help it. You can't help it. It's what you. It's not what you do. It's what you are.
Hallelujah.
This is what we are. All the world don't like it, but you know what? I don't really care. I don't like a lot of things they do. I've been called to believe this.
Amen.
I've been called to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I've been called to believe Malachi 4. I've been called for that. If you are, you ought to be the happiest human being on the face of planet Earth tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing one more little chorus. Sister Lindsay Gilruth gets ready to sing for us. She'd come onto the platform at this time. Let's sing, "In the Morning When I Rise, Give Me Jesus." How many of you know that without Him we are absolutely helpless? But if He'll come on the scene, it makes all the difference in the world. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Oh, sing with all your heart now, church. Oh, give me Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Oh, you can have all this world. Give me Jesus. Now
feel the Lord.
still have Jesus.
Just give me
Jesus.
Oh, give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus.
Just give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus.
Clap of praise tonight as you're seated. Sister Gilreth, God bless you. We're glad to have her in the service. Give her a nice hand as she gets ready to sing tonight.
I stand accused. There's a list a mile long of all my sins, of everything that I've done wrong. I'm so ashamed. There's nowhere left for me to hide. This is the day I must answer for my life. My fate is in the judge's hands. But then he turns to me and says, I know you. I love you. Take the place for all my sins. I stand in awe now that I have been set free. And the tears well up at the look of the cross, 'cause it should have been me. My fate is in the nail-scarred hands. He stretched them out. Yeah.
I know you're certainly looking forward to the preaching of the Word of the Lord. You want to pray for our pastor tonight? Amen. I certainly appreciate our pastor. I certainly do. You know, we as lay people, a lot of times we don't really have a clue what a pastor has to go through. We don't have a clue. We're clueless. But a pastor and a minister of this gospel that will stand true to the message of this hour and preach it the way it's supposed to be preached, I appreciate him with all of my heart. And we need to pray for him with everything we got, because they're God's messenger to us. Do you believe that tonight? So let's look at our pastor through a different set of eyes. He's a man, but yet he is God's messenger to us in this local assembly. And I want to appreciate him with all my heart. Don't you? Amen. Let's sing a little chorus tonight. I'm going to make it. You may look at me and say, ain't no way. I'm going to make it. By his grace, I am going to make it. Look at somebody and say, I am going to make it. I'm going to make it. He's already said.
Believes that with all your heart. Amen. If we could see it the way God sees it, we can say, I've already made it. Jesus said, I already did. No matter how many mistakes I make along the way, it won't hinder my election. It's good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Luke chapter 15, if you would, tonight, verse 17. Luke chapter 15, verse 17. I trust you're enjoying this portion of God's Word. I love looking at sovereignty. It's just wonderful to me. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Now, there's so many of these things that's in this that you and I in our tradition and our Western culture are totally unaware of. For a child to be able to address their father or mother, it must be through a distinctive title, either father or mother, or sir or ma'am or madam, as we'd say. When the older brother gets ready to speak to his father, we'll look at it, Lord willing, tomorrow, the display of rudeness and how he speaks to him. But everything about this young man in the way that Jesus portrays him is exactly in order with acceptable repentance in the eyes of God. You see, repentance, if we're going to repent of something and really make it right, it's got to be acceptable in God's eyes. It's not really what you and I think about it. Well, I think I did it this way. Now, that's not really what matters. It's what God thinks about it. Notice now how Jesus sets this forth, descriptive of this repentance of what he says he's going to say. And will say unto him, Father or Sir, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Now remember, this is descriptive of how the Lord Jesus is displaying true repentance. I want my car keys back. I want to be reinstated fully. I don't want nobody asking me about nothing went on, and shut your fat mouth. It had never got off the ground. Never got off the ground. Now remember, this is God himself talking. This is the way God wants repentance when we do something wrong. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And let's read together from Knowest It Not, paragraph 135. Now the only way up here in this spheres that you could ever be in this little inside man, you have to be foreordained, because you was with God. That's why I could say a while ago, we have already made it. And you're a part of God. I was in my father. I also was in my grandfather and my grandfather's grandfather. By seed, I was in that. And I was in Christ. You were in Christ before the foundation of the world. He came to redeem his own. Now listen. His own that was in him.
Amen.
Glory. The parable of the prodigal son is not the whosoever will group at all. It's the elect. Listen to this. He says, you were in Christ before the foundation of the world. He came to redeem his own. His own that was in him. And then he says one of my favorite words, hallelujah. His children that was in him. I was in him before I was ever in my daddy. I was saved before I was ever lost. I was in Christ before I was ever in time. Glory. Now listen to this. He never came to save the devil's children. They never will know it. They're so shrewd in their ways of their intellectual learning that you can't compare with them at all. You can't out-talk them. When are we ever going to learn this? When are we ever going to believe it? When you get on Facebook and go to trying to out-talk a bunch of these devil's kids, when are you going to realize you're wasting your time? Just accept what the prophet said and realize you cannot out-talk them. You can't outsmart them. If we believe him on other things, why not believe him on this? It's nothing but a trick of the devil to get many of you tied up in a bunch of trash and hogwash. And get your minds all tied up in a bunch of stuff. And when it's all said and done, the devil's laughing at you. Well, praise the Lord. You can't, oh my, they never will know it. They're so shrewd in their ways of their intellectual learning. You can't compare with them at all. You can't out-talk them. But by faith, you see it. Praise God. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for that tonight. We realize it's unmerited favor that's given us the ability to believe and accept your word. There's so many things about it that we cannot understand. How in the world can we explain how you made the universe, the stars, the planets, the worlds, the laws that operate in them all? How can we understand that and think you made that out of nothing? It's more than my little mind can comprehend. But it ain't more than my heart can believe. And for that I am grateful. Father, may you take your word tonight and speak to us, Father God. I ask that the presence of the Holy Ghost would so anoint us in this place. Help me, Lord Jesus, that I can be able to get out of the way. But help them, Father, that they'll be able to get out of the way in order to hear, to listen, to be able to receive. Grant it, dear God. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. How can God be just and sovereign and holy and right and true and pure and just and be able to predestinate a group of people that were in Him before the foundation of the world, and yet there would be billions of people that were not His people. Millions times millions times millions of people that would never would be redeemable as far as redemption. How would He ever be just to allow those people to stand at the day of judgment and them say, I was not one of yours. I was not elect. I was not bride. Now remember, this prodigal son came to himself. So something had to happen to him. We believe that. That would help him come to himself. How then is it that everyone outside of the body of election, and they don't have any representation, there's no gene in them at all, but there will be millions of them that will be saved? How will they be saved, being their non-elect? Because the grace of God will appear to many that's not even in His own body. Now remember, elect is a complete different category than the whosoever will group. You think now that God in His power, what was it that got a hold of us? And we believe tonight by the grace of God that we're called and we're elect, do we not? And we thank God for that, and no doubt each one of us can go back to many times, maybe numerous times, and the Spirit of God moved on us before we ever gave our hearts to God. And it was like something began to roll back the mist or the darkness in which our souls were inundated with this darkness, and helped us to see that there was a brighter day. There was a better way for us to live. And then we say, well, how then can a if the righteous that are called to God, and God has to roll that back to them, and they have definitely have the advantage by having seed life, by representation in them, how in the world then could those that are not even elect, and their names is not even on the Lamb's Book of Life, they were not even a part of the genos of God, how in the world will they ever get saved? How do they ever even come to God if they're not elect? Now, if the self-determination and the free moral agency of the elect is so powerful that it would keep them by choice away from the sovereignty of God, how much more would it the unregenerate or the unredeemable, would it keep them away from God? Yeah. Unless, of course, there's another scripture. Yeah. The other day, Carol and I was coming back from across the way in Virginia from the funeral that we did for our dear departed sister. We were talking about the grace of God and the Word, and all of a sudden, as I was driving down the highway, the Spirit of God began to open up, and I saw something that I want to share with you. As I sat there and I began to think of how it happened to me, and no doubt many of you could relate in how that it happened to you, that something began to, for a moment or 30 minutes or 5 minutes or an hour, whatever it was, begin to roll back darkness or mist and allowed you to see something you were not searching for, something you were not even desiring, but yet it got a hold of you and helped you to see that there was a better way. You remember that? And then I began to ponder in my heart, well, how is it then that for those that are not elect, how is it would they ever come to God in this pardoning grace? How would they ever break past the veil of darkness that they also are so enshrouded in? Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. And I heard His voice speak these three words to me. And I told Carol to get my phone and type in these words in my Bible app. Let's look at this scripture, Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Hallelujah. Now I want you to notice how Paul says this. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. Now notice carefully. The grace of God brings it and opens up the way by which people can see it. But when grace will open up that which appertains to God's divine way, it does not mean that everybody who sees it will receive it. Notice again how he said it, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Salvation does not come to every individual, but the grace of God that brings it will. Now, can you imagine when a sinner will pass a church sign, or a sinner will pick up a Bible or whatever more you might feel led of God to tell them of a better way, and the Spirit of God for a moment will roll back the mist and the darkness. What is that? The grace of God has appeared to that individual. But did it bring them salvation? No. grace appeared to them, which could have developed into salvation if they will receive it. Oh, glory to God. So the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. Don't you understand why God will so condemn those who stand there at that day? Those that turned it down because they was in such a decrepit situation. No way for them to ever come to God. No way for them to ever even see it. But the grace of God for a moment, for 5 minutes, maybe one time, maybe 50. The grace of God roll back the darkness. And while they were standing there in the church service or sitting in a pew or listening to one of the prophet's tapes, whatever it was, the grace of God that brings salvation appeared to them. And when it appeared to them for a moment of time, it rolled away the mist and the darkness around their life, and they saw there was a better way. And by their choice of their free moral agency, they said, no, I don't want it. It's not for me. I can't give up this. I can't give up that. And when they turned it away, the darkness closes itself back around them again, and they will stand at the day of judgment and answer for that moment or that 30 minutes or that hour and a half of the epiphany of God, the grace of God that appeared to them and showed them the right way. But for the elect will not and cannot turn down that visitation of grace because they are part of his genes. This is how God can be just in ordaining and predestinating and foreknowing his own. Because grace will appear to every man. Some folks may get one chance. That may be it. It may be 30 seconds. Brother Jim, it may be an hour so that something strikes them and moves on them and moves on them. What is it? Grace. The grace of God that brings salvation. The grace of God comes even without them asking, even without them petitioning. But the grace of God, which brings salvation, opens up their understanding, and for that moment of time, they're able to see by free moral agency. They then accept or turn it down, and from there they will be judged accordingly. God's grace is the active favor of bestowing upon them the illumination for a moment or a day or a week or a month that there is a better way. And by that, Paul could say the grace that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. There won't be one Japanese, not one Chinese, not one African, not nobody in the world that'll ever stand before God and say, you didn't give me an opportunity. They will get the opportunity. Not only to hear it, but the grace of God which brings salvation will pierce the darkness of their soul and give them the opportunity to accept it. Lord Jesus, what happened? What was it? The grace of God. The grace of God penetrated their moral darkness. The grace of God penetrated their world without invitation. And let them see it. And it rolled away, and they come to themselves in the sense of being able to acknowledge that they were wrong. And from their free moral agency of choice, they said, I don't want it. The darkness enshrouded them again. Maybe the mercy of God dealt with them again. They closed again. They closed again. They closed. Some get one chance and that's all. Others may get 1,000. My, my. Notice this word that Paul uses, appeared. It's the verb used in the originals related to the noun epiphany, which is the appearing or manifestation. For example, of the sun at sunrise. So here Paul uses this word that the grace of God that brings salvation will appear as a sunrise to all men. Every Buddhist will be struck by the sun. Ever Shinto, ever Hindu. That's exactly right. Oh, how would it be? I don't know. That's up to God's business to take care of that. Now, not everyone, of course, will hear it. But there will be some who will. They're not seed genes of God. They are not His. But He will allow them to be saved. They will be outside the city. I'll tell you one thing. I'd rather live there than be in hell. Amen. Now watch this also in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, now we better be very, very careful here. Who will? Who will have all men? Now remember, in the style of Scripture, when you're looking at God's will, there's two phases in which the will of God is set forth. That is the determinant counsel, which can by no means be altered or changed. And that which is set forth as His desire for it to be this way or that way, which is not in His determinant counsel, which can be altered. Now watch, who will have all men to be saved? Now if God would have willed by His unchangeable, immutable counsel that every person be saved, there would be absolutely nobody lost. If He would have willed it that way, but He didn't will it that way. He don't want nobody to be lost, but they will. Why? Because He didn't will it, but He willed it. He didn't will it, but He willed it. Praise the Lord. You're looking at me funny. I know that sounds kind of strange, don't it? Watch in Psalms 115 verse 3. But our God is in the heavens and He hath done whatsoever He has pleased. Now if He would have determined salvation on this principle, nobody will be lost. Then guess what? That's exactly the way it would have been. Again in Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, of things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Now if God would have willed salvation that way, everybody would have been saved. It wouldn't make no difference to race, their belief, or whatever more. But look at this again in 1 Timothy 2:4. Who will have all men to be saved? But let's look at this word now, what it means. Now in the English, we'll pick up two words that say exactly the same thing but have two total different meanings. The word here that Paul used for will is the Greek philo, which is to desire, to wish, to be fond of doing, or to delight in, to have pleasure. Now this is according to God's own nature. Now remember, this has a relevance in the will of God. It's not His will that any should perish. God don't want folks to be lost. And if we're like God, we don't. If you got the Holy Ghost, there ain't nothing you don't want to see anybody perish. Why? You got the nature of God. But can we cause the other people to be saved? No, we can't do it. But yet it's not our God's will, and it should not be our will. But why? It is a desire. Would we want everybody to be saved? We would. Does God want everybody to be saved? He does. But did He want it bad enough to will it from His determined counsel? Oh, no. Who will have all men to be saved? Now this cannot be taken, remember, in the absolute sense. It's the same word that is used here in Luke chapter 8 verse 20. And it was told by him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without. Now this is a total different English word, but it's the exact same Greek word. Desiring to see thee. Okay, so Paul says, God desires that everybody would be saved. Like Jesus' mother and the disciples sitting outside the door and said, oh, we'd like to see Jesus. But their desire was not to determine the counsel of God. God desires. He would be fond of. It would please Him that everyone would be saved. But in turn, He knows they won't. But He also knows who will. You see, God ain't just fond of me. I was in God's determinant counsel. God don't just like me. Notice Luke 23 verse 8. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous, same Greek word again, to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him. And he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Again, John 1:43. The day following, Jesus would, same Greek word, go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. That Jesus desires, longs, wants.
Yes.
Amen. Come on.
But now let's look at the other word here used for will. English, again, the English word sounds the same. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His thelema.
Yeah. Yeah.
What one wishes or determined shall be done. Amen. Now the English word, you think, my, it's the same thing. But Paul never used the same word. Now here God is not fond of the bride. God don't wish the bride would be there. God don't kind of like the idea that the bride would be there. But God determined she will be there. And there is no more firm determinate counsel. And that is that she will be there because her destiny will be determined by her origination. So He's not going to base it. He's not going to base your destination simply upon your ability to choose. He will base it upon your origination. And your origination determines your destination. So you originated from the very genes of God. Come on now, put that elder brother of yours in place so he can say amen to the word. Oh, glory. What one wishes or has determined shall be done. Choice or inclination. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing. Now watch Peter, the word he uses, to will deliberately, have a purpose, be minded of willing as an affection, as a desire. God does not have a desire that people are lost. He has a desire that they are saved. But does it mean that they will be? No. But if He determines this by thelema, totally impossible for that to be changed. He desires that all men will be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But will they? No. Based on what? His desire. It's not His desire. He's not willing that any should perish. The earth will be big enough to where it could contain billions and trillions of people once the oceans are gone. It ain't like we're going to be running out of room. Praise the Lord. But He did not in His determinate counsel say, every Egyptian, every Armenian, every American, every German, every person that ever lives on the face of the earth, I will save them whether they want to be saved or not. But he says, I don't want any of them to perish. I don't want any of them to be lost. But I'll leave that up to them. Except, of course, my kids. Brother Dunny, don't you believe we have free moral agency? Absolutely I do. I believe I have just as much right to choose God as I had to choose my mom and daddy. Same right. Well, I know some of that's scalding y'all's older brother. I hope it does. We're going to get that old boy saved before this is over. Sure as the world. Notice in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? Saith the Lord God. And not what he should return from his ways and live. Again, verse 33. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn. Turn. God don't have pleasure in them. Notice chapter 33, verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the deaths of the wicked. What if God doesn't have pleasure in their natural death? Could God get pleasure out of eternal separation? No. But the wicked turn from his way and live. This is what God wants them to. That's his desire. Yes. He would be really fond of it.
Amen.
I'm fond of a lot of you folks. But I'm sure glad I don't live in the same house with some of you. And that's only half the story. You'd feel the same way about me. Praise the Lord. Come on now, don't sit there and look so pious. Why? Because certain of my ways would get on your nerves. And I know some of yours would get on mine. So I'm fond of you and I love you. But what I want to live with you. That's a total different story now. I love my grandkids, but I wouldn't want to live with them 24/7 for about 3 months. Brother Homer Longoria said he loves to see them headlights coming, but he loves seeing them taillights going even better. Does God want people to go to hell? Does God enjoy people perishing? No. Praise the Lord. So who was it that led this son back now? Now that something came to him. Now think of it. It's the exact same occurrence that would happen to seed and non-seed. The breaking forth of the illumination of light, whether it's for a moment or 5 minutes or a week or whatever more, that God illuminates in the grace of God which bringeth salvation appears. Maybe they pick up a track. Maybe they hear a radio broadcast some way or another. Or maybe they see your life. Jesus did say, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I still believe that's the most powerful book we can hand out. The Word made flesh. What good is it going to do for you to hand out message books if you ain't living what you're handing out? They're going to call you a hypocrite and think this is a cult. But if they see your life living that word and they see you impacted by what they're going to say, that guy really believes it. I don't understand it, but he really believes what he's saying. Now watch. What was it that got a hold to that man? How was it that how would a person be able to stand before God and say, Lord, you never dealt with me the way you did Donnie. There won't be one mortal. Not one. They'll be able to stand before God and say, God, you dealt with Don and you gave Donnie grace. And God will say, and I gave you grace. Yes. You remember that day when you was going down the road and that funny feeling come on your heart? That was my grace that was there to bring salvation to you. You remember? Oh, and there had a flash. Right there they were driving down the road. Listen to that country music, a bottle of beer, a cigarette between their fingers. And all of a sudden something rolled back and they saw themselves. And they saw there was a better way. I don't want to do this. No, I'm not ready for this. No, I can't do that. What was it? The grace of God which bringeth salvation appeared to them. and it's on God's record. Now watch this young boy as Jesus gives us the parable of him. What was it that led this son back? Look in Romans chapter 2 verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Do you understand what leads foolish virgin bride, elect, non-elect? Do you understand what leads all people to repentance? The goodness of God. It's not you. It's not your good works. How much you pray. How much you read your Bible. How much you donate to charity. It is the goodness of God. So here he comes to himself. Now let's resume our story. He arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now he comes to the father of himself. Now remember, these parables consummate with three of them adding up to the complete story of redemption. Here the prodigal son's given in a little bit different venue than the coin and also the sheep. And how that it is an invisible force that is moving on this boy's heart. Now, I mentioned it last Sunday. Let me say it again so nobody misunderstand me. Should we not witness about the Lord Jesus? I've never said any such thing, nor do I believe such thing. Neither do I believe this message is Amway or some side of something that we hand out. Be led of God who you witness to. Look, we're not, when you're talking about witnessing about Jesus Christ as folks' Savior, that's one thing. When you're witnessing to them a bride called out message, that's a complete different thing. Amen. Some folks in the message meet a rank sinner and want to give them a track on serpent seed. You need your mind looked at a little bit. They need to get saved first. They need to find their Jesus as their Savior. How can we eliminate a sinner with great mysteries of God? Come on, children, don't get quiet. You might be able to lead somebody to the Lord Jesus and never lead them to the message of the hour. That's why we need to be led of the Holy Ghost. We feel led to witness to that person. You may go no further than salvation. You may witness to somebody else about sanctification and go no further. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. We cannot go by the way we think. We don't know who the seed of God are. Watch, Jesus never emphasizes that at all. He emphasizes the invisible, the unseen, that the boy come to himself in his right mind. He doesn't say nobody talked to him, although that can happen. He doesn't say he heard a preacher, though that can happen. What he emphasizes is the end result was he come to his right mind. He comes to himself. Now when he does, the illumination of the Spirit of God drives away the darkness, and he's now in his right mind. So when he comes to himself, then the appropriate thing to do is go back to Daddy. Now he comes to the father of himself, is what the way the Greek word says. And whatever he did, he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, oh my, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now notice, we were a little closed out on this last Sunday, but let's start at verse 21. And the son, notice how the son does. And the son said unto him, Father! Watch how he addresses him now with respect and honor. You owe me repentance. You owe me. You owe me. God owes you nothing. We're living in a welfare age. People want the government to keep them up. They want the government to do this and the government to do that. Where do folks of that mentality think the government gets their money? The government don't make money. The government prints it, but the government don't make money. The government takes money that we pay in as taxes. Come on, don't get quiet on me. And many folks in church get that welfare mentality. Well, let the church do it. Let the church do it. Let the church do it. And
then they come that way spiritual. Well, let God do it. Let God do it. Let God do it. Let the preacher do it. That's what we pay him for. And they get that spiritual welfare mentality that everybody owes you something.
Well, I didn't get many amens, but does that mean all y'all drawing welfare checks or something? I mean, either naturally or spiritually. You see, many folks feel like they have a right. A right. I'm a preacher. I got a right to preach at Happy Valley. No, you don't. I got a right to stand up there and sing. No, you don't. And if you got that attitude, you won't be singing here. I can assure you that. Until your dimension is changed and you realize it's not your right. It's an honor and a privilege. I don't care where I go, whether I preach to thousands or five. I hope to God I never get to a spot that I feel like somebody owes me a place to preach. It's my honor to preach to the bride of Christ around the world. I count it a privilege. I do not count it a right. I do not count it an obligation that men are obligated to have me come and preach. No, sir. Come on, children. Well, some of you didn't like it very well. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. That's Jesus projecting this, that this is what we're supposed to do when we come in repentance. He's projecting the attitude and the right things to say when we approach God. God, you owe me nothing. The church owes me nothing. Brother Donnie owes me nothing. The congregation owes me nothing. I'm a sinner. I've sinned. I've done wrong. I'm not worthy of anything. But God, if you'll have mercy on me. God, if you'll give me grace. What's now? He'd rehearse this, no doubt, over and over again. But the Father said to his servants. The Father interrupts his confession of words. Why? The Father sees the spirit of his heart. A lot of us folks in the message are message Catholics. You see, whenever we do something wrong, we say it's been purgatory for 32 years after we do that certain thing in order to justify ourselves. You're living under the influence of your older brother. I believe we should repent. I believe we should make things right. But I believe when those things are made right, we should go right on with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Exactly right. Notice. And the Father said to his servants. 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 Not angels. His servants. Those in charge of ministering the family's goods. Preachers. Hallelujah. Said unto his servants, oh my, hallelujah, the ministers of the gospels, diaconia, the root word of where we get the word deacon from. Servants. Servants. Same word used as minister. You see, preaching is not a great position of royalty, or it shouldn't be. It's not a great position where everybody bows down to the preacher and worships him. He's supposed to be a servant to God's people. Same thing deacons are. Praise the Lord. Well, my, my. So he says to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Amen. And the Latin Vulgate actually adds the word here, quickly. Quickly. Hallelujah. He needs his mind changed, and he needs it changed quickly. Amen. Now, servants, I want you to notice now, the Father is not doing this. It is not the angels that are doing this, but it is servants. Yeah. A
and those servants are obeying what the Father is saying to do. Each command. Now remember, each one of these things, no doubt, were kept in a different location. Praise God. Yeah. Bring forth the best robe, which would, of course, been the Father's robe himself. It was an act of grace by divine imputation that was being imputed to this unworthy son. Did he deserve it? No. Was he worth it? No. Were you worth it? No. But yes. Did you deserve it? No. But yes. A part of you didn't and still don't. But a part of you did and still does. That was a part to come from God. Now my daughter will say, Daddy, don't do this for us. And Daddy, don't do that for us. And Daddy, please, you know, we're not worthy, Daddy. And don't do this, Daddy. And don't do that, Daddy. You know what? They are my girls. And I love them. And I want to do what I can to help them in life and make life a little bit easier if there's any way that I can. No matter how much they tell me, Daddy, don't do this. And Daddy, don't fix this anymore steak. Daddy, don't do this. And Daddy, don't do that. You think I'm going to stop? No. I'm going to keep on as long as I can. Hallelujah. Why? They are part of me. And if I can make their life a little bit easier than mine was, I'm going to do it. Notice what he tells them now. But the Father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. So you mean the Father ain't doing it? The Father didn't say, now bring it to me. Because after all, you don't need preachers anyway. I'll just deal with you directly, and them preachers will send them out to pastor. Not P-A-S-T-O-R, but P-A-S-T-U-R-E. We'll get rid of them. All we need is a tape sent out. Bless God, get rid of them. That ain't the way Jesus preached it. So Jesus tells them, you go get the best robe out of my word that you can find. And then I tell what I want you to do. I want you to study that word. I want you to hem that thing exactly right. Don't you see why you listen to Brother Tim's sermons and Brother Tim may not deal with this and that and the other. And you listen to Brother Barry Coffin. Brother Barry Coffin may not deal with this. They say, why does Brother Donnie deal with this? And why don't Brother Tim deal with that? They're dealing with their congregation. And theirs may need to be hemmed a little farther. There's a lot of short folks in Louisiana. Brother Tim's a short preacher. So their hem line might need to be a little bit shorter than yours. Yours might need to have longer sleeves, and you got great big old long arms, you bunch of hillbillies. Some of y'all might need to be longer on one side than the other. But you know what? If a man of God follows the leading of the Holy Ghost, he will put the robe on you that fits you. That's why you need to pray over what church you go to. Some of you big, tall outfits go to a short preacher that most of the time specializes in short robes. You're going to look like you got on a mini dress. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now I want you to go get it. And I want you, preacher, I want you to put it on him. As long as God gives me my right mind, my breath, my sanity, and strength and the ability to open the lid on my laptop, I'm going to do my best to dress you in the robe of his righteousness. I don't want my opinion. I don't want your opinion. I don't want somebody else's opinion. I want to go in there and get the Father's robe. Forget this man's idea from Venezuela. Forget this man's idea from Costa Rica. Forget this man's idea from Trinidad. Let's go to this man's idea from eternity. Let's see what he's got to say God requires. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Notice in Genesis 35, to Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments. Let us arise and go up to Bethel, I will make her an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. What is it? Change of clothes is a sign of consecration and holiness. This boy had on a stinking garment. Praise the Lord. So he come to church where a preacher preached on the type of clothes you wear. You see, in the age we're living in, they let them come out of the hog pen. They still got the hog pen. They've been there for 6 years. They don't have to change their ways. They can still do whatever they want to do. Well, that's a good gathering for hogs, but we're not gathering hogs. We're gathering bride. You may come in, you're like a hog, but I want to tell you one thing. I don't want you to stay that way. If you stay that way, it's by your own choice. Come on, saints. Notice Genesis 41:14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. Why? It was not fitting. It was not fitting for a man who smelled like a dungeon to walk before the king. It was not fitting for this boy to stand there with no shoes on his feet, no ring on his finger, and dressed like a pig pen. It was fitting maybe for you out there in the hog lot, but not fitting when you stand before your daddy. It ain't fitting for you to stand bob-haired, painted-faced Jezebel and say you're the bride. It ain't fitting. Notice Isaiah 61:3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Some of y'all need to change clothes tonight before you leave. Because you come in here tonight with old spirit of heaviness on your mind. You could eat oats out of a 2.5-inch gas pipe. You don't look like you lost your grandma, your best cousin, your third bill. Oh, everything in the world, IRS, fix and repossess everything in the world you got. You act like you ain't even got a loving father that cares for you. You need to lay that old garment aside and walk out of here tonight with a spirit of praise. With a garment of praise and salvation. I ain't talking about emotion. I'm talking about something that you can praise him with or without feeling. When you're wearing praise, you don't need to feel anything to do it. Praise God. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Praise God. Zechariah 3:4. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused that iniquity to pass from thee. I will clothe thee with change of raiment. Do you understand? This scripture is what will happen in our body change. He will take away the garment of mortality and give us a garment of immortality. Revelation 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Notice, not bride. Amen. Wife. You can be bride and lose your covenant. Oh, it always makes most message folks just curl their lip. According to what Paul said in Corinthians, I desire to present you as a chaste virgin. You can be betrothed and lose the betrothal. Well, he said it's impossible. Ask Eve if it was. But if you're a wife, that means he has known you. I don't want to just be bride. I want to know him. His wife, not just his bride, his wife. And if you'll notice, John didn't say his wife has made herself wife. His wife has made herself ready. I can't make myself wife. I can't make myself bride, but I can make myself ready. Why? It's built in me. That's just what we do. This is what we are. This is what we behave like. We are believers. unto her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Yes, praise God. Amen. And the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand. Now, this ring would have been the family signet, a symbol of reinstatement to sonship. I'll tell you one thing. These folks who really are born by the message of the hour, some of the last ones to come in, Lord have mercy. It'll be fun just being around them. They're going to grow like that. Look at this prodigal son. I mean, the guy's going from the hog pen to the baptism of the Holy Ghost to the restoration of the word to sonship. Bam! Some of us, we've been around for 40 years, and that ain't no wonder the Lord's got a time that he knows how we are. We'd eat ourselves to death. If he didn't put out this revelation in increments, we'd blow ourselves to smithereens. If revelation was accessible to us, Brother Ted, by only us getting more and more and more, I'd done been gone a long time ago, believe me. I'm glad, Father, hallelujah. I'm glad Father holds it back and lets it out when I can take it. Sometimes I don't think I can take no more anyhow. But can you imagine? Imagine those who come in, the very last ones at the 11th hour, and they see who they are, and they see where they come from, and they get their position reinstated. It'll be hallelujah, hallelujah. You preachers, put that ring on his finger. Now, you know, imagine it would be so strange to try to wear a square ring. You know, like this, a rectangular or pyramidal shape, or rectangle. Now, some of them might be square on top. You understand what I'm saying? But how are most of them made to where they feel comfortable on your hand? Right. With no corners. With no place where it started. And no place where it ends. You preachers preach to my people. They did not become sons and daughters down at the altar. But they always were. Glory to God. Help them see. I slid that wedding band of unmerited, predestinated, unmerited grace on their finger before the foundation of the world. It was an everlasting covenant. You wasn't saved on any certain day. You always was. Amen. 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 Notice in Genesis 41:42, and Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. That must have been an awesome day. But I'm going to tell you one thing, it wasn't nothing like when Almighty God slid his ring off of his hand and put it over on mine. Glory, and clothed me in the vestures of his own righteousness. Praise be to God, not only me, but every believer in here tonight that's met him in that same way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Notice Brother Ben says, I remember when I was lost and undone. Out in the world, dying a sinner. Laying on a hospital bed, and the doctor said, I had a few moments to live, but I cried, turned to the road. And as a child, he said, I ran to meet the Heavenly Father. He kissed me on the neck. Kissed away all my sins and cares. Put the robe, the Holy Spirit on me. put the wedding ring on my finger and I'm going somewhere one of these days. Put me in with these people here where we can rejoice and live together and be happy. Why? I was once dead and now I'm alive. Oh, my, once was lost and now I'm found. Notice again in the 10 virgins, he says, out here when I was about 18, 20 years old, one day the Holy Spirit, I said, well, who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? He said, he took your place. You were going there, but he took your place. There he is. I said, oh, Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, I come, I come. Nothing in my arms I bring. I have nothing to offer you, Lord. Just simply in the cross, to that cross I cling. That's all I got. And he took me in. He clothed me like the Father with the prodigal son. And put a new garment on me, the garment not of mine, his garment of his righteousness he put upon me, and a wedding ring upon my finger that I will be with the bride that day. Now the fatted calf has been killed and we're rejoicing because I once was dead and now I'm alive. I once was lost and now I'm found. Hallelujah. So we've got a robe on him. We've got a ring on him. But we've still got him standing there in dishonor.
That's right.
He's barefoot.
Amen.
The robe is beautiful. The ring is wonderful. But he's still barefoot. Which means he's still a slave in certain avenues of his life. Many of you got set free from cigarettes years ago, from prescription meds years ago, and from alcohol and different things, but you're still a slave in your mind to your older brother. Oh my. Hallelujah. The Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. Servants went barefoot. So the shoes were a symbol of freedom. So he has Christ's righteousness. He has an element of the sonship as a son of God. But he's still not free. Do you understand? You can understand so much about the Word of God and still not be free in yourself.
That's right.
From yourself. So he has a beautiful robe, such a wonderful ring, but he's still not free.
Amen.
Notice Deuteronomy 29:5. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. I'm going to tell you one thing, Johnson and Murphy, hush puppies or nobody else can't make no shoes like this. And if they could, they wouldn't want you to have them nohow. They want to make them in China where they ain't no good when you get them in the first place, and then you got to buy another pair in 2 weeks' time. Who can so makes them and so what can't so finishes them and trim so what that they come out and the ones are the one that ship them up and do fo fock and Leo and this and that and the other. They ship them over and time you get them, you say, what in the world have I got? One fits and one don't. One's the other and one's the what in the world's going on here? But God said, I so made your shoes. You've tromped around here in this wilderness for 40 years. Let me tell you something. I nearly had a spell today when the Lord dropped this in my heart. Let folks leave the message if they want to. Let them turn away from the message if they want to. But let me say this. My garment has not waxed old. My shoes are not wore out in this word. As a matter of fact, I love it now more than I've ever loved it all these years of my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God, my shoes are not old, and the garment of the Word of God is not old. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you. Isn't that amazing that God can make a certain style of garment that wouldn't go out of style for 40 years? The Word's always in style to the elect.
and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. Now you do know what kind of shoe they wore, don't you? Ezekiel 16:10, I clothe thee also with broidered work and shod thee with badger skin. Badger skin was the outside covering of the tabernacle. So they was wearing what God was wearing. No wonder it don't get old. The bride's righteousness is not her own. I'm wearing what Jesus wears. I don't want to be in style with Laodicea. I want to be in style with Him. I want to be dressed up and ready to go to the wedding, don't you? This is why the bride's garments won't get old. This is why the preparation of the gospel of peace will not wear out. Song of Solomon chapter 7 verse 1. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O princess daughter. We're talking about the Shulamite? The Shulamite that was a poor shepherd girl who had no royalty in her family. But he, you see, it's not as she was. It's how he sees her. I imagine she blushed and felt ashamed nearly every time he said these great complimentary things. She probably just hung her head whenever he called her princess daughter. And she could think, my family was the poorest in Shunem. Nobody even knew us. How can he see this in me? He goes plumb down to her feet. And he says, how beautiful are thy feet, but not just your feet. Your feet, once they're slid in shoes. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O princess daughter. The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a cunning workman. The shoe or the sandal in ancient times was a badge of freedom or liberty. And the rich and the wealthy would bedeck their shoes with jewels. All kinds of fine things. So when he looks at the bride, he sees these shoes she's got on. Look at that. That's Matthew, isn't it? Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Philemon, Titus, Philippians, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, Jude, John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Book of Revelation. Look at her shoes. Look at how beautiful she is. Oh, glory. So the servants went in the house and brought out the shoes. Now, no matter how much of a son this was, if he's going to be ready to come before the Father, he's got to take instruction from the preachers that's sent to lead him. Amen. Those of you that feel like you don't need one, I hate to tell you, but you're not going to be accepted in the Father's presence. Amen. Let me close. Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now watch the Father in verse 23. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. Glory to God. You preachers, go get the fatted calf. Let us eat. Be merry, for this my son, he was dead, but he is alive. Amen. This my son was lost, but now he is found. Yeah. This is the way the bride was lost. Out of circulation. Had on the wrong clothes. Smell bad. In the wrong association and fellowship. Lost the way the cannon fodder is lost. You never was that way. And never will be. My son. Notice this father and say, my son was a pig. And I changed him to a sheep. My son was the devil's son. And then I saved him. And now he's my son. You never was the devil's son. Or daughter. Praise God. You might have thought you was. And the devil might even have thought you was. But Jesus knew you would. Praise God. Don't you love him, church? Oh, hallelujah. And remember, that just God that deals with this prodigal son this way is the same just God that will cause grace that bringeth salvation to appear to every man. Every man. And they'll look at it, see it, and make their choice. You'll look at it, see it, and accept his choice. The prodigal son is not even contemplating. I'm praying about going back and seeing if my daddy will let me come back to the house. Reckon that old man back there would have pity on me. We'll look at it, Lord willing, in the morning. The elder brother. You talking about a rascal.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it amazing? His true character isn't displayed till the seed becomes birthed. We'll not go into that. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my. Let's just worship him. Lord, children, if you're standing here tonight and you got a robe on you, the robe of Christ,
amen.
You got a ring on your finger, you got shoes on your feet, think of what you are. But let me say this. All of this came in stages to this young man.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing to me when you look at it and you think the order, the way Jesus put this in. He deals, just says a certain man had two sons. Doesn't give us the character, the identity, or anything. And the older brother starts the conversion of the new. Jesus goes on and tells us about the father receiving the older brother, you know, his attitude and all that that he has. Jesus doesn't give us an end of the story. The end is left up to you. How will your end be of this same story?
Amen.
You see, this story is being played out tonight, right here in this building. Those of you that are born again are dealing with two prodigals. Two. The one who left and come back, and the one who never left. But he was as far gone as the one who left and come back. The story is about two prodigals, not just one. They were both away from God. Away from the Father's love. And the story doesn't have an end. Jesus doesn't come and say, now the one son, he turned around and he got an attitude adjustment and everything worked out just fine. They all lived happily ever after. He doesn't give us an end.
Right.
You will dictate to us the end of your story.
Amen.
And I will. I will live out by my life the end of my story of my two prodigal sons. By God's grace, I know the end of my story. I know how it's going to end. By the conversion of the younger brother, and by the mercy and grace of the Father, my older brother will be bought into complete submission and understand that works alone will never produce a body change. After the true conversion of the younger brother, which is my seed gene, he will bring my older brother subject and will do him the greatest favor he can ever do. He will lead him to a body change. That's the way my story will end. Glory! Let's pray. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, thank you for your precious word tonight.
Amen.
Lord, I am so grateful, so grateful that your grace, which bringeth salvation, has appeared to all men. I always knew you were just. I always knew you were right. I always knew that there'd be some way that it would be done. But I thank you for helping me to see it more clearly. I thank you, Lord, that one day that grace that brought salvation appeared to me. It just makes me feel so sad when that grace will appear to others, and it will appear in the manifestation of like sunlight, spiritual sunlight that opens up just for a moment and shows them a glimpse of a new day, a new opportunity. And yet they turn it down and they refuse it. And some of them may have one chance and that's it. They turn and go away. Yet they will stand there that day and there won't be a one. They will ever be able to stand there and say, you never dealt with me. Lord, whether it's the Incas, the Aztecs, the Anasazis, the Mayas, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, whatever people that lived in different time frames down the world, in the world's history, somehow the grace of God had to be there. And we know that there's a reservation of the heathen that will be kept for Psalms 2 in the millennium. And many of those will make their choice in the millennium. But every mortal will have to stand and say, the grace of God appeared to me. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful tonight that when it appeared to us, that seed gene that was in us from the beginning grabbed a hold of the rays of light. Hallelujah. Praise God. Is that little old woman at the well? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There she was, and her outside was so dark. Her body was so filthy. Her spirit so unclean. But down in her was a predestinated seed. And once you spoke, she hadn't even had the Holy Ghost. But just by you speaking, the grace of God appeared to her. It so transformed that woman. She went back to the city and said, come and see a man that's told me what I've done. Isn't this the Messiah? They saw such a change in that woman. They come out to hear her. And then they said back to her, we believe now, not because of your words, but because we have heard him ourselves. Is not this he which was to come into the world? Is not this the Savior of the world? Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's amazing what the illumination of light can do. Lord, maybe there's some standing here tonight. They've not been quickened. Maybe they've sat in this church or another church for years. Maybe, Lord, they've made the first step and they've got the robe around them, or maybe they're just on their journey back. I don't know where they all are, but you do. May your spirit help them. Maybe there's some sitting here tonight. They've been in the message for years. They've got the robe. They've got the ring. But they're still bound. Bound by tradition. Bound by their old brother. Won't let them go. Lord, may tonight be the night that through the preached word, glory to God, they'll sit down and sit still just long enough where the ministry of the word will be able to slide that shoe on Cinderella's foot. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We know this gospel shoe only fits one foot. We understand, Lord, why a lot of these folks are leaving the message. They've had their old foot cramped in this shoe for years trying to walk around. They don't walk right. It's got their toe all cramped up. It's either been too big or too little or too wide or too narrow. It only fits predestinated Rebecca feet. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, but when it slid on the feet of the elect, praise be to God, it fits just exactly right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you tonight, Father. I believe, as far as I know, Lord, that I've got on the robe, I've got on the ring, and I've got shoes on my feet. But whatever I need to be added to me tonight, Lord, I pray my heart will be open to receive. Hallelujah. I know one thing, Lord. They got on a robe, they got on a ring, and they got on shoes, and they're fixing to eat. And the next thing is dancing time. They're fixing to be merry, and they danced and played music and shouted. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we worship you tonight, Lord. Father God, I pray you would help each of us. May we be given exactly what we have need of right here on this service, Lord. Grant it, I pray, Father. We love you, Lord. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise be to God. I worship you tonight, Lord. Are you happy, children? Yes. Aren't you grateful for the grace of God? Yes. Find yourself. Find where you are. Find where you are. Oh, my. If there's a bunch of you that's already got this stuff on, I'll tell you what. We've sat here tonight and the Lamb's been killed before us. I say it's time that we have a merriment around here. Amen. Praise be to God. I say it's time that we have a merry heart. Yes. And what did they do? They added music to their merriment. Church of Christ would have a hard time with that, wouldn't they? But that's just the way the scripture says it. They started having music and they was rejoicing. The older brother come up. Boy, he had an attitude, didn't he? He said, what in the world's going on in there? Oh, it's a bunch of Pentecostals still left over in the message. Call us what you will. Say what you will. Jesus included music and merriment in this rejoicing of this prodigal son. I don't imagine they're sitting around like this. He's back. He's back. I'm so glad he's back. He's back. He's back. I'm so glad he's back. He's one of us now. He's one of us now. I hope not. Oh, that set a guy like that down. That kind of singing ain't what you want for rejoicing. Praise God. The thread runs through all three stories the same way. It's time to rejoice. Some of you that never let the electricity of the Spirit of God flow through you in emotions of worship, I wonder about you. We might need to bury you. If your religion ain't got no emotion, you need to get rid of it. You talking about being a stick in the mud. You're going to be a bad stick in the mud in the rapture. You're going to be a bad stick in the mud in the streets of gold. And me and David's having spells and you're sitting over there with your hands over your ears. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to get ready right now. I don't know about you. I want to rejoice and give praise to my God. Don't you? With all of your heart. Oh, I don't have to shout every night. I don't have to dance every night. Sometimes my greatest rejoicing is when I'm not moving my feet at all. It's my eyes. It's pouring out streams of water. that my heart is so elevated in the presence of God. To know I'm clothed, I'm ringed, I'm shod, I'm eaten, I'm happy. I'm ready. I'm ready. Sing something for us, Harry. Oh, praise God. The King in the galleries. Let's look at ourselves tonight as a work of art in the gallery of sovereignty. We're clothed, we're ringed, we're shod, we're fed, we're happy, we're bride. Praise God. Praise God. Let's worship Him tonight. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Well, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Since I
Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you still got an old hog lot attitude, I'll tell you what, I believe tonight it'd be a good time for you to lay it on down. Praise the Lord. Get rid of that old snout of yours. You still rooting around in the garbage pile of Facebook on the message, that's a bad sign for you. You rather eat gossip and slop than the Word of God, that's a bad sign for you. You developed hog lot ways. Sheep ain't interested in garbage. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. Sheep ain't interested in trash and garbage dumps. They're interested in the Word. Well, glory, glory. Something, children, you don't never want to get into the frame of mind that this older brother was in. Right. This older brother got into such an attitude. Yes, his elder son was in the fields, and as he came and drew nigh to the house and heard music and dancing, he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. That's pretty sad. You're having a Holy Ghost meeting and you don't know what it's about. And he said unto them, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. He was angry and would not go into the Holy Ghost meeting. Oh my. Now what an attitude. What an attitude. And this is the way Jesus closes out this tremendous parable of redemption. The elder brother. To me, it couldn't have been ended any better.
Amen.
After redemption and reconciliation to show these two prodigals are in your life. Praise God. Well, you say we shut him up. Don't kill him now. Don't put him to hell. That ain't what the daddy done. But he wanted to bring him to reconciliation. Take his old bad, sorry, rotten attitude. See if you can get him changed by the grace of God. You ever come to church with under the influence of the attitude of the older brother more than the younger brother?
I didn't like it singing tonight. The air conditioner was too hot. I sat there and sweated like a rhinoceros in the middle of August in South Africa. I was burning up. That PA system was killing my ears. They know I don't like that fast song. Why does Brother Donnie always do that?
You went to church with the older brother, didn't you? He dominated your thinking. He dominated your worship. You had that kind of attitude. If you go to church with that younger brother, he's got on the robe, he's got on the ring, he's got on the shoes, and he's in a shouting mood. Everybody will be happy over there. Well, there's a happy land, a promise over him, that great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share, where the bride of all the ages are gonna live in that pyramid city forever. I had to update it. Evermore. All the elect, predestinated, foreordained children of God will be happy over them. Pause the harmonic display. Not only that, a bunch of them is going to be happy going that way. Well, I said everybody will be happy.
See you tomorrow.
Oh, there we'll meet the one who saved us and who kept us by his grace, who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise his name forever. We look upon his name. Everybody will be happy over there. By his grace.
brought us to that land so bright and blue.